Welcome to the Gals Guide podcast. Join us on an adventure to get to know famous and infamous women from around the world. Each of our presenters has a pick. Is she ancient history? Is she breaking news? Is she safe for work? Well, that's up to each presenter. All we know is that...
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Well, welcome back. I am Riru, and I am joined by Katie and Amy. Bonnie had to go have some Easter ham.
Easter ham.
But we are sharing our Middle Eastern gal pick. So Bonnie, when she was here, talked about Armesia of Kyra.
The first.
Not to be mistaken with the second one. Right. Exactly. And Amy talked about Sama El Masri.
Yes.
There we go. And Katie talked about Samara Musa. Mm-hmm. Look at that. I always feel like it's a gold star moment when I actually like remember.
Last one.
A polite golf clap.
Golf clap for remembering. It's been a lot of beers and cupcakes this particular evening. This will be fun. So before I dive in with this really crazy pick that I have, I really want to get to know something random. I want to know... where is there a specific place in the Middle East that you would like to visit? Mm. Yeah. Like, you know, a tourist location or historical area or just, you know, a particular country or region or city that you've always wanted to go to. Sky's the limit. What are you thinking?
Oh my gosh. I would love to go to Egypt.
Yes. Oh yes.
I would love to go to Lebanon just because that's a big area for Middle Eastern dance.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yes.
Lots and to learn. Lots to learn
and absorb.
Yeah.
But I think if I was just going to leave tomorrow.
Right. Yes.
I would go to Kuwait.
Oh, nice.
My uncle actually lived there for a while.
Yeah.
He was an engineer.
There it is.
For an oil company.
Yes.
So he lived in Kuwait for a while, and I actually have a friend there.
Nice.
She was an intern at the library
when
she was getting her library degree.
Yeah.
And now she works for the Library of Kuwait.
Oh, nice.
As their children's librarian.
Aww.
And so I would just love to come visit. She sends me pictures all the time and little videos and like just all this weird stuff. Kuwait is very odd. It's so tiny.
Yeah.
It's like the size of Ohio. It's just tiny, tiny, tiny. And it's such a weird juxtaposition of like the traditional and the modern, kind of like Dubai in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That
and
blend of
just incredibly crazy wealth.
Yeah.
Just crazy. And their population is so tiny. And I don't know. It's just such an odd little place. But
be fun to explore. Yeah.
I know. And she sent me just not too long ago, she sent me a picture of the new McDonald's that opened. For so long there was only one McDonald's in Kuwait.
Only one.
And it was like one of the old school, like when you look at it, you're just like, oh my God, that's a McDonald's. Like, that's like that is a McDonald's, like a 70s McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And she said that her school would take field trips there. I mean, it was just like such an odd, like, we're going to McDonald's, like the only one like
McDonald's?
In my whole country. And they opened a new one. She sent me pictures of the new one and the like the giant line when it opened. Oh God. It's
Does
just
it
so
look
funny.
More modern? Did they?
Oh,
or
yes.
Is it still like retro?
Oh, it's, no, okay. it's, okay. It's in like a crazy modern building. It's next to the Gucci. It's like so crazy. Right. And she sends me lots of pictures from like her library and things that she's doing there. And I don't know. It's just interesting. I just think it would be a fun place to go. And I would love to see her and she could show me around. And I'd love to like, you know, talk to my uncle and see where places that he'd been.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know. If I were going to go tomorrow, that's probably where I'd go. Just.
Yeah.
For sentimental reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I dig it.
And because it's weird and tiny. And I would boycott the new McDonald's and go to the crappy one.
Yeah. Or maybe both.
Maybe both. Definitely go to the Gucci, though.
Yes. There you go. Katie, what about you? Where would you want to go?
I think I would want to go to Turkey.
Nice. Yes. Whoa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely want to go to Istanbul.
Yes.
Not
Constantinople.
Constantinople.
That's
right.
Exactly.
I've thought about this a lot.
Ever since that song came out?
Yes, I have. And that's what I would want for myself.
I like it.
There
you go.
Also, I don't know if it qualifies as the Middle East, but I've also always wanted to go to Morocco.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of like borderline.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. A little bit more kind of. Yeah. That'd be nice. Yeah. I like it, though. Fantastic. Well, my place is the place that I picked to tell you all about.
I feel like you planned this.
I kind of did. Everybody gets the opportunity to plan their random thing to tie into their thing. I'm just the only one that kind of had you it kind of tied into the girl. Thing. Although Amy tied music.
I tried to tie
it in very much. Yes, exactly. So my robe pick, I don't have a woman of history for you as my pick. I have an ancient site in is what now Turkey. So there's the Turkey connection there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Katahoyuk?
I have not.
No. Okay. Oh my gosh. You are in for a frickin' trip. Let me tell you. So I've actually had this place on my research plate for at least 2 years. When we did Archaeology Gals 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I started a document for Katahoyuk. But this is a journey with some problematic men in it.
and so my favorite kind.
So I needed to do some due diligence. Mm-hmm. I needed to dig into their history, too. but yeah, the reason why it's been on my list and the reason why this place is my pick mm-hmm. is because it is an ancient place that was ruled by women.
Yeah, it was.
Yes. Right? So, okay, let's dig into it. We're going in the way, way backs. We're talking 7,000 BCE.
What?
So we're talking 9,000 years ago from today.
Okay.
This is the way, 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 way back. So Katahoyuk is the oldest and largest Neolithic settlements in the world that we know about. I mean, there's probably many underneath the ground that we don't know about or that have been built on top of that we'll never know about possibly, right? So this is Neolithic. And I am going to have to shout out my sources on this episode. The reason why is because a lot of it's going to sound like some crazy shit. And some of it actually is, but I'm going to source it. And I know I always say with the show, it's not a thesis statement. Like, you don't have to source it. But holy crap, to try to separate and unpack of it. So the first one of the source that I have is a BBC documentary, right? Oh, okay. BBC documentaries. Pretty harmless. You can kind of take what they say. So this was in a documentary called The Ascent of Women, and they were doing women's studies, and they laid the literal groundwork of what the ground looked like at Katahoyuk. So they talked about that the settlement was a grassy plain that teemed with life and was generously supplied with water. Okay. Right. So in about 7,500 BC, there was a band of hunter-gatherers that settled on the banks of the river and decided to build themselves permanent dwellings, right? So this is kind of that start of mud and plaster and building a society and building a home together. The BBC says there was about 2,000 houses in this area.
That's significant.
It's really big. 8,000 people is what they are estimating that took place living in this town at one time.
Wow.
So it was a very, very big place. Now, I've seen videos and I've seen photos from like the excavation site. Mm-hmm. And also they've done like models to try to recreate of what it might look like. Because the houses had no doors. And also there was no streets. It was these houses. Oh, I do have a picture. They were rectangular houses that were stacked next to each other, and so they would travel on rooftops.
That's so cool.
Right? So I will show.
I'm sorry, but that just sounds so much fun.
I will share on social media on our show notes. But do you see how you can travel on top and then you live in the insides?
Because I'm very not athletic, but other people could.
The idea. Yeah,
I see it.
So that's kind of the settlement of these little rectangular buildings. And so life
They're
was
so
pretty
cute.
Much on top. Yeah.
Life
so
on top.
I love that.
Worship the sun.
I know. So all of your business, all of your trade, all your, hey, how you doing, was up on the rooftops. Mm. And then you would climb on the ladder from the rooftop down into your dwelling. Mm-hmm. And in there, there was a fireplace.
Probably safer, right?
Yes. And also
there's
heat rises.
And yeah.
So you're up a little bit higher. So you're also, you kind of get the heat and the cool along with it. So the fireplace for cooking, basically how the fireplace off gases would go up through the ladder to the rooftop. So that was your chimney was basically the hole where your ladder was, sort of thing.
Okay.
So that was the thing. I was like, how do you have a fire inside but no chimney?
Oh,
it was where the ladder was. Yeah, exactly. The other thing is they would bury their dead underneath the house. So underneath the floors of the dwelling, that is where they had the dead be buried. There was no cemeteries in the town at all.
That's delightful.
Right? The dead might have actually meant so much to them that they wanted to be close to them. Because the BBC wrote this, and it is kind of gross, but it's also kind of sweet. They said the dead were buried beneath the floors, often with their heads missing, possibly because the occupants, when they moved to new dwellings, would take the heads with them.
Okay.
I know.
I'm glad you can't see my face.
Yeah, I know, right? But it meant a lot to them. Go ahead.
I get it. You're in a time where there's no photographs.
Yes.
You don't have any. You really don't have anything.
Yes, exactly.
And it's family members.
Photograph is not going to last long with decay. You keep head.
Right?
I'm going to be the dissenter of the community and be like, let's not.
Let's just keep it there.
Yeah. No. A skull is forever.
Just under the floorboards.
Beers should have used that as their slogan. A skull is forever.
It's there more rare than a diamond.
There should be matrimonial skulls exchange.
Exactly.
I'm feeling let down now.
I know. Okay.
All right. Skull.
We all need to have a vow renewal.
There's also this other thing that was in all of the homes. I can't remember if I had another picture of the inside
Please
of the
don't
homes.
Tell me.
I do have another picture of the homes.
It's too much.
Bullhorns. So there was bulls.
I can't see.
Not bullshit, but bulls that were inside the homes. Do you see the horns?
Yeah.
As kind of like decor.
Why?
I will tell you why after I show Amy. Do you see the bulls on the wall there? So there's bulls like kind
of. No, I'm all about this interior design. It's
right?
It's like Western minimalism.
Your Southern living.
Yes.
That ladder's fire.
Okay.
It's like a tiny home.
It is. It very much is. So the bullhorns. Okay. So now I have to like switch resources and I have to go to this amazing crazy book, which is called The First Sex. And it is Elizabeth Gould Davis. And she talks about the bull aspect of it, okay? So she published this book, and it is at Gal's Guide. It's totally available for checkout. It was published in 1971. She died in 1974. Take that as you will. she was also very...
She was a prophet.
Right? Or she had limited time left on this earth and decided to just get some stuff out, right?
Let's get it out.
So the book, she had a master's degree. She was a librarian at one point in her life. And on the front page of the book, actually by Penguin Books, it says, because she realized there was no definitive work on proving the historical dominance of women, she began writing this book as she felt compelled.
Oh, yeah.
So the book is very much to assert the dominance of women.
Yeah.
And
I'm behind it now.
Okay. Because the back of the book.
And then she died.
Well, let me.
Mysteriously.
These are the eye-opening facts that are listed on the back of the book because she's not hiding this. Which
I'm ready.
Are, oh, my God. That the Y chromosome is a stunted X chromosome.
It is tiny.
We proved that.
The mutation of man.
Soon it's going to be gone.
Right. Ancient civilizations such as the Sumerians were matriarchal societies where women ruled and men were servants.
Check mark.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the collapse of these matriarchal societies signaled the brutalization of humanity and the increasing suppression of women.
A woman before her time.
She really is.
I 100% subscribe.
Okay. Sweet. Then you're going to love this. So here's what she said about the bull. Okay.
Okay.
So the bull aspect, she says, quote, perhaps the most widespread cult of the ancient world was the cult of the bull, right?
Okay.
So the beast was sacred to the great goddess. Anytime you have these stories and images of myths of antiquity of the great goddess, there's always a bull in the story next to
like
her.
Like the white. Bull.
The white bull. Yep, exactly. We've got the Irish myth has the two bulls fighting. We've got Queen Bacilla. We've got Apis and Tiamat. You covered Tiamat. She also had a bull that was at her side that was in her story. I mean, the other thing that she mentions, Elizabeth mentions in the book, is in India, bulls are still worshipped.
Yes. Mm.
So they are the sacred cows still of today, right?
Someone's getting a new pet.
I know, right? So one of Elizabeth's sources that she has is E.O. James. And E.O. James wrote many books in anthropology. And one of them he wrote was The Cult of the Mother Goddess. So this is also kind of those bulls and mother goddess. So in 1957, he wrote this. He said, "Moreover, it is now becoming increasingly evident that the goddess worship had a widespread influence and play and a very significant role on the subsequent development of ancient religions from India to Palestine, from Neolithic times to the Christian era," and says her cult was the most effective rival to Christianity. So if you start to have this, like, goddess worshipping society that starts to kind of ease into the Christianity times, oh, you're going to have a fight. Those two do not really dig into each other all that well. But digging into this...
Constantine won't fix it.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man. But going further into this mother goddess, this kind of cult of the mother goddess as either a religion or as an argument, because some will call it the mother goddess argument, because it's a theory that was proposed in the 1870s. And this is when I start getting into my problematic men situations. So in the, you know how we called it the Stone Age for the longest time? We're like, oh, well, in the Stone Age, this is how it happened.
Yeah.
Well, there was a theory in the 1870s that the Stone Age was actually run by women. That it was matriarchal, that it was peaceful, that it was spiritual, it was non-materialistic, and of course, it was sexually uninhibited as well, because whenever women are in charge, of course, we're very sexy about it, right? So, the theory...
Sexy, I know, not anymore.
Exactly. So the theory proposed that this was this evidence that we were once a female-led worshiping society, and then everything went wrong for us when we switched into a male-powered society.
Okay.
One of the writers of this theory was Friedrich Engels, who was very good friends with Karl Marx.
Yes.
Aren't we all?
So the two of them collaborated on the Communist Manifesto and Das Kapital. Ooh. They were both writers and very much proponents of the mother goddess theory that was out there, right? So the mother goddess theory, it continued on and off through like wars, battles, revolutions, and, you know, kind of lost some flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Then enter the 1960s to my next problematic man, James Melhart. James Melhart is actually the one who found Catahoulas. He's the one that digged under the ground and actually found this civilization.
And how did he interpret that through his male
thank you
gaze?
Right. We'll circle. Let's put a pin in that one.
Okay.
So James, he starts to find objects that relate to this mother goddess theory. He finds a figure called the Seated Woman of Catahoulas. And I put, I found a picture of it. Ooh. And again, I will put it in the glorious show notes.
Okay.
She's fierce. She's fabulous. She is a large seated woman who has two leopards on either side of her.
Look at those tits.
And she is giving birth. She has the, I think they're called penultimate. Is that what it is?
Actually, what I love most is her thighs, because they are a replica of mine.
That's right. See, right. You are a goddess. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So that is the statue.
It's all about those leopards.
Exactly. That is the statue that he found, that one of many, but this was the
and
main
her
one.
Face is so interesting.
Right? Exactly. It's a fierce look that I really actually appreciate. So Elizabeth then used James's research to kind of prove in her book of the female-led society of Catahoulas. She said that there had been no wars in the society for 1,000 years, that there was no animal sacrifices, that pets were kept and they were cherished, that it was vegetarianism throughout the entire place prevailed, that domestic animals were kept for milk and for wool and not for food, and that there was no evidence of violent deaths, that women were the head of the households, they were very nicely buried, and that men's bones were thrown into the charnel house. But above all, it says the supreme deity in all of the temples was the goddess. So now she's using James's report that he published in 1966.
Okay.
And James did excavate, and he did find 150 of these houses, and found many murals and sculptures and figures. But are you ready for to know a little bit more about James? So this guy, he's an Englishman. He did discover the settlement. He did discover the main object, right? His mm-hmm. wife was born in Turkey. She okay. was also the secretary of the British Institute of Archaeology
okay.
in that area. Maybe privy to information. Who knows? but James was also expelled from Turkey because he sold stuff on the black market.
Oh, Hobby Lobby. Sold
stuff and probably bought stuff as well. He was very insistent that the site of Catahoyuk was the place of mother goddess worship. He was very much like in this. I think he read a lot of Karl Marx and was really all about it. But other archaeologists are like, nah, son, like, that's not, like, I don't think you're right. And furthermore, we think you're making it up, right? Mm-hmm. Well, when James died in 2012, not wow. that long ago.
What?
2012, okay. it was discovered that he did forge many of his findings from Catahoyuk,
gosh.
Right? Now, Elizabeth, who wrote the books and sang the praises of James, she died in 74. She had no idea of any of this, right? So yeah. she had wishful drinking of, oh my gosh, my boy James finally yeah. found the evidence that I've been searching for my entire life. Mm. So, I mean, I don't blame her, but I had to learn exactly what was necessarily happened. So what's the truth? Yes.
So did yeah. he, how did he falsify, did he falsify artifacts or did he?
Murals. It was one of the main things
okay.
of finding these murals that had these depictions of rituals and women at the center and things like that of the goddess worship. So
he forged them?
He forged them.
Because I was actually going to ask, can murals survive that long? But right. then I felt well, too some ignorant of them have. To ask.
And right, like, exactly, right. It probably depends on how they are preserved, yeah, what I mean, kept them, where they were. There's paintings,
but like the yeah. detail, like having that much detail.
Yes, exactly. To be able to figure out what the figures are and yes, stuff like that.
And what they're doing. And
so that's where you have that wiggle room that I think he exploited to be able to be like, oh no. And if people don't understand how the yes. science works, most of yeah. us don't. We're not archaeologists.
Yeah.
So, yes. So what is the truth of Catahoyuk? Because you've got a lot of people really wanting it to be something. Mm-hmm. So there is actually, Catahoyuk is a World Heritage Site. There are still people investigating and unearthing it right now. And they do actually have a website. It's not really the most updated website in the world, but they have a website. And their website states that ritual activities at Catahoyuk revolved around hunting and death and animals. Wild bulls were needed for feasts, but there were also probably taboos, and there was also probably special meetings for leopards, because that's in that statue, and also bears. I didn't see any bears, but I am called a mama bear, so I do love the bears. They continue on to say that today many people believe that the mother goddess worship at Catahoyuk is based on the discovery of numerous female figurines. However, recent reinterpretations of the data have suggested that male and animal figurines are just as common as their female counterparts, if not more so. So equality is in all the senses that appear to be the primary importance for the people at Catahoyuk.
Okay.
So maybe it wasn't female worship or female led, but it was equality based.
Yes.
There was so yeah. many things that yeah. were equal. And so that's pretty cool.
I mean, that long ago,
yeah.
it's just people trying to do their best,
right.
in my mind. I mean, yep. I don't know.
Trying to survive, right?
But yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they built cool houses and hung out on the roof. I mean,
yeah.
I'm all about it.
Yes, exactly.
They had pets. All about it.
They liked bulls. Why yeah, not? Well, I right?
Whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe vegetarian, maybe not. Who right. knows?
Exactly. Like,
maybe know?
Vegetarian when there wasn't a big feast just to be
carrying
happening.
Their heads yep. around. I,
carrying
whatever.
Their grandma's head.
Go. Do your stuff.
So the BBC talked to the new guy in charge. So this is the BBC source again. So Ian Hodder is the new guy in charge. And he said that there was no evidence that Catahoyuk was necessarily like female worshipped. But he did say it was true gender equality. This an wow. examination. He said male and female skeletons showed that both sexes ate the same diet.
Yeah.
They performed the same work and they spent the same amount of time outside. So they
That's
lived
pretty revolutionary, right? Yeah.
Living in the same spaces, their death uh-huh. in the same, you know, care and regard. So in other words, both their heads were missing. which is quite nice. So it's really
so nice.
Nice for the idea that maybe this was not so much a women's wonderland, but an equality wonderland, yeah, which is also pretty
cute.
That's
what we all want.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I do have that many of us don't know about Catahoula, or even knowing that a society like this could exist, mm-hmm. or that it did exist in the way, way backs. We don't tell too many stories about like this time in history. And I'll say for the last, you know, quite a few thousand years, way back anyway, we were taught that when you see a culture, you see a man-made political power.
Right.
And you see these religions that say women go against the natural order. And some of them say it's because it's always been that way.
No.
So that's why when you get a place like Catahoula mm-hmm. that is like, but it hasn't,
but
dude.
No, that's not.
It hasn't been that way.
Our history.
Exactly. Yeah. So Catahoula has these complexities. It also has two dudes determining the history and the findings and the theories, right? So we had James, who got kicked out of Turkey.
Yeah.
And then we have Ian, who's running it now. By the way, he was James's student.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there is a connection. I really think it would be interesting to have, I don't know, a female point of view,
that could be good.
Perhaps on this site, as we have two dudes, one of them definitely problematic, one of the other one his student. So like maybe, but the reason why I really chose Catahoula to kind of like tie this all together is that there's so many twists and turns, and there's so much of this that is kind of reflective of the Middle East, where you see so many different places in the Middle East where religions got their start. And then religions built upon religions built upon religions, and kind of trying to erase each other's existence kind of within it. And many times people are like rewriting their history to find superiority over another.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So it just, I thought Catahoula was this example of complexity. And it's a complexity that still exists in the region, and it still exists here today. We're still kind of fighting these theories and ideas that go back and forth. And again, it would be nice to have a female point of view on this historic site. So that is the twists and turns and wild ride of Catahoula for you.
Yes.
In modern day Turkey is where it is.
And are they still working on it? Are they still doing evacuations? And
yes, they have this huge dome that they have built over it to protect it. So that they
I'm sorry, but that's just that's the most fascinating thing you've said. I'm like,
oh yeah,
what?
Bulls? It's like
women? Wait, no, there's a dome.
There's like a super dome. I think I do have a picture of it. Actually, it's kind of like where they play. Like, I would play football there. Is what I'm saying.
Oh god, I pictured it like a bubble.
It's a tube. Do you see it?
Oh my gosh, that's the.
Let me see.
I can't
that
even
the
begin to understand. It does look like a stadium.
The stadium of Catahoula.
Okay.
Like there's going to be a concert in there.
And that's why I would totally
Raven.
Go. Yeah. I would want to go explore it and help out if I could, or
that's
if nothing
so
else, just kind of to see.
I
want to
see the fake murals.
I know, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
To be able to dig deep into what was real, what was fake, and what have they really found there.
Yeah.
But you can go Catahoula. I mean, spelling it is always quite fun. I think it's .uk.com. And you can see their funding. You can see their project update. It's been a bit since they've updated it, but it's really neat. They give you a history and a lowdown of something we have never heard of and told would never exist.
Yeah,
but
it
does.
That is so interesting.
Right? There you go. Yeah. Chew on that one, as I have for the last 2 years. Of what the hell, Catahoula. I mean, I didn't think I was going to bring Karl Marx into it at one point. I was like, wait a minute. Oh, my God.
You said Engels, and I was like, wait,
Engels.
That Engels.
The Engels that was the BFF to Karl Marx and took care of him in his sickness, stayed by his bedside and wrote books with him.
Yep.
Those two.
Okay.
But yeah, they loved the mother goddess argument.
Okay.
Who knows, right? Well, should I wrap it up for the month?
Yes, please.
We've done a wonderful exploration. So
yes.
So that wraps it up for Middle Eastern Gals Month. Join us next week as we get those passports ready, because we are going to visit where the cherry blossoms reign and animation runs supreme. We're heading to Japan. Want to learn about more women of history? Gals Guide opened a unique women's history lending library. Come visit and explore our collection. Learn more at galsguide.org. Thanks for listening.